Okay. That's good. Let's skip the boring part. Okay, those are the rules. That's my name, and that's the Blackware site, and so on. Okay, this is the outline. The first part is just state of the art. If you have followed the presentation this morning about mobile security, you probably already know everything which is written in this part. Then we will go on talking about Toro mobile phone and other strange devices. As we are a bit late, the first part will go out very fast. The main problem with phones is that mobile phones right now are really powerful devices. They are almost like computer. They got a lot of computational power, high-speed data network access, and they are running on real operating system. The other problem is that phones are personal. Raise hand, please, if anyone in this room doesn't own a phone. I don't think that, oh, you're my hero. You're cool. The other problem is that phones are personal, and we keep them everywhere we go. And usually, we go out and we never leave the house without them. Phones are critical because there are catalogs, address book entries, email, SMS. You know, if you were there, if you were here at Christian's presentation about the Android rootkit, he dumped the content of his address book and his SMS database and so on. The other problem is that when we are talking about phones and mobile phones operator and so on, there's too much trust involved in the connection, because I, as a user, I trust my phone because I use the phone to make phone calls. The phones have to trust the operator, which is the entity which gives them access to the network, and the operator have to trust themselves to route calls around the globe. So what happens? That the user have to trust the operator as well. Why operators are using so much trust between them? Because they want the things to go out smooth. Because if the calls, if texting, if anything won't go out smooth, the user will be pretty angry. The other problem is that there's too much heterogeneity. I mean, usually it's not a big problem, but you know, when you have to work with different communication, closed communication protocol, or a different kind of network, or a different hardware landscape, you get problem when you try to stick them together and secure the environment. The other issue are, well, phones are really powerful, as I said before, but they were burned for making call and sending SMS. So the operating system adapted to this behavior. And in the screenshot, it's my phone. I was trying to access my Gmail address, and as you can see from the keyboard, I can only input letters. There aren't even numbers, or let's not talk about special symbols. I need to push that button over there, and I need to change the keyboard. So what does it mean? That difficult password are difficult to enter, and the user will usually choose a easier password. The other problem is the screen size. I was trying to connect to a site with a self-signed certificate, and I have no idea what the certificate would be, because I have no way to check that. Another thing is that we usually think that we have bought the device, so we are usually owning it, but it's not true, because on top of the food chain there's the manufacturer. I'm reporting here some headlines from past news. CBS reported that Apple, a phone banned for minister in France, I think I can remember. Or Android Developer Forum, which talk about the kill switch they implemented and so on. The carrier operator update, which was spyware. and the Black Hat DC talk about iPhone privacy and so on. Another problem is data. Usually data is stored in clear text. Right now, BlackBerry and Nokia allow some sort of encryption. Another problem is that data access usually is all or nothing. You can access the data, you can access all data. What I'd like to see in the future is a fine-tuning of application permissions. If you switch to the communication side, well, it's not going to be easy as well. GSM has been broken, UMTS almost. SMS, it has been abused, it's easily spoofable. If you can remember Charlie Miller and Colin Mulliner wrote an exploit with MMS for, I think it was iPhone. Bluetooth, everybody knows about Bluetooth, and Wi-Fi and so on, and that's pretty. That is interesting. This one was discovered by Colin Mulliner. There are mobile phone operators which are injecting custom HTTP headers in the request your mobile phone browser make. Something like, you know, the IMSI, something that's not really important. So just to recap, this part I was really speeding through. Which are the problem? Mobile phones are everywhere. They are designed for call and text messages, not for going out on the internet or using secure protocols. Stored data cannot be easily protected, and communication needs to be secured. I won't address a solution for all of this problem, but for this last one, which is Tor. We can get some degree of privacy and protection using Tor on our devices. Anybody here who doesn't know at all how Tor works? Okay, cool. That was a crash course. This is the story of Tor on unusual devices. The first time Tor got on the iPhone was December 2007. Then we got a Chambi 1 on 2009, iPhone again on 2010, Nokia 900 and Android. When you are trying to port Tor to mobile platform or other platform that, you know, Linux, SX, Windows, you got some address to some problem to address, like, you know, the available hardware or the hosting operating system. How easy is it to write or to port the program on that operating system? The installation process is very important, and the presence or not of a graphical user interface. This one is quite interesting. This port has been done by Jacob Applebaum and Bunny of Bunny Studios. You probably know what that is. It's Chambi 1, an alarm clock, which has an ARM CPU and 64 megabyte of RAM, and they run on Linux, and it's wonderful. This port is not easy to install, as you need the Chambi 1 cross toolchain, you need to check out the sources, you need to enter the folder and type make, then you have to unzip the build on a USB key and rebooting the alarm clock with the key inserted. And, well, there's always the easy way, which is just unzip a provided build on the USB key and you are free to go. This port is quite interesting because, you know, the Chambi 1 has very limited resources to run Tor. So they needed a swap file, and this is very clever. They configured Tor as a bridge, listening on the 443 port, TCP port. Why do they do this? Because Tor running as a bridge will not be so angry about resources as a full-blown relay. Unfortunately, there's no easy upgrade mechanism. You need to build another version of the program, put it on and USB zip and reboot the device. But this is very interesting. Bunny found out that there is an official support for 3G.net, for cellular data network in those alarm clock. So these are the achievement running Tor very limited resources and an easy install method. Tor Mimo and the Nokia 9N900. What's that phone? It's powerful IRM CPU, plenty of RAM to run Tor, and well, this was a bit easy because Tor is already in the Mimo community repository. How could you install Tor on such device? Well, just enable the repository extras double. There's a big ugly warning telling you that it's dangerous, but you know, okay. You just look for Tor in the package manager and you are done. How could you eventually run it? Just toggle it. This was wonderful. You open up the control panel, you tap on your router, and here you are. You are running Tor on your Nokia. What does this port achieve? Well, it was easy install. You know, repository are wonderful. You can install software with just one click. Better than the Chambi one, you can even upgrade your program. And well, this was the first graphical controller application for Tor mobile devices. Then we got Torbot or Tor on Android. Okay, everybody I think knows what Android is. Linux-based operating system, many different devices available. This port has been built by the Guardian project. How could you install it? Well, just scan that QR code. If you are running Android, you can just take a picture of the slide of the presentation, and you will be about to install Tor in a minute. Unfortunately, it's not yet on the Android market. How could you run Tor on Android device? Easy than ever. Toggle it. Another interesting feature about Tor on Android is that finally, it's fully configurable. You know, this is the screenshot of the configuration program, and it will offer you all of the options that Vidalia offers you when you are trying to run Tor on a full-blown computer. And there's a bonus. If you're running a rooted Tor device, Tor can do transparent proxy. So you don't have to set a proxy for each application, or you can use applications which are not designed to go through a proxy. So the achievement is installation, highly configurable, and transparent proxy. And finally, Tor mobile phones, mobile Tor. Okay, when I'm talking about iPhones, I'm really talking about iPod Touch, iPad, and so on. What we got here? We got Darwin, which is the iPhone OS, powerful CPU, and plenty of RAM. And before going on, I want to thank the EFF for what they did, and I also want to thank. Yeah. Thanks. And also all the jailbreaking community for the hard work they are putting into this stuff. The main problem right now is that my port of Tor for iDevices is that you have to have a jailbroken device. That's just because it's easier for me to develop. I'm doing all my develop from Linux using the open tool chain, so I don't own an Intel Mac, so I had to go that ways. If you remember, I said that Tor on the iPhone was already available in December 2007. Yes, but there was a problem. The original port was made by CJacker 1. It was built for iPhone OS version 1, he or she patched the sources to overcome firmware limitation. The firmware at the time wasn't able to handle all the connection Tor opens while it's working. And he shipped that that program with a copy of Privoxy and a graphical controller application. Unfortunately, Seajacker Wang totally disappeared. iTor.app disappeared with the author. The only thing which remains were the patches, because they were included in the official tree, source tree. So what I did, when I was trying to bring back Tor on the iPhone, I just installed the open source toolchain. Right now I'm targeting iPhone OS 3.1.2 as that just because it's the version of the operating system which is shipping with the phone at the time I bought it, and I'm cross-compiling from Slackware. I'm building the program following Jay Freeman convention. If you don't know who Jay Freeman is, he's the guy behind Cydia. My sources are an overlay to his sources, so you can just check out Jay Freeman, Saurik sources, check out my sources. You just copy my sources over the checkout of Telesforia Tangelo, and you can just use this build system to build my package. And that's the address if you want to take a look at the sources and the repository and so on. So the new port is made by me, built for a newer version of the operating system. It should work with version 4 and so on. There's really no problem at all. The old patches were no longer needed because right now the firmware is able to handle that many connections. When you install the mobile Tor package from Cydia after adding my repository, you also get a copy of Polypo instead of Privoxy. And you get an SB settings plugin, so you can easily toggle it on or off. And the plugin will start both Tor itself and Polypo. That's a screenshot of the application. You just tap on the button and you are free to go. What happens when you run Tor on your iPhone? Well, you can get client functionality, obviously. You can be a relay. You can run hidden services. It's working. It's fully working. The interesting thing is that obviously you can run it over the wireless or over the cellular data network without problem. And another cool feature of the operating system is that it's doing the transparent proxy thing. So you didn't have to care about proxying applications. There are some limitations, unfortunately. The operating system doesn't support SOX proxies, but that's no problem. We can run Polypo in front of it. There isn't still an easy way to set up a proxy while you are surfing through the cellular data network. I'm trying to discover a way to do it. There's a VPN trick. You can set up a easy crackable VPN, and at the time when the iPhone recognized that the VPN is running, it let you choose a proxy, so you can do that. Another problem is that there isn't yet a Tor secure browser, meaning a browser which respect all the which protect you from the privacy threats that browsing through the internet pose to your privacy. Other limitations are that it's cryptographically intense, so it's a bit heavy on battery and drain. And at least in Italy, cellular data networks aren't very Tor friendly because you got rapidly changing IP address and spot coverage. It's not that funny, but it works. How's the development going? There's a bit too much fiddling with the command line interface. I try to reduce all these steps. But for installing the repository, you have to copy and paste a command into your SSH connection to your phone. Main user, according to the mail I receive, aren't able to do that. There's really a strong need for a graphical controller application like Vidalia, and there's a need for a secure browser too. Some of the future crazy ideas, IRM is working. If you don't know what IRM is, it's the Anonymity Relay Monitor. It was one of the first Google Summer of Code projects sponsored by Tor Project. It's a Python application to monitor your Tor relay. It's screenshotted right here. I got planned to port Onion Cat to this platform. I'm doing also some work on TTDNSD. Right now, the main problem is that TSOXIT, it's a bit tricky to build and have it run. And, well, it would be nice to also try out this port on all the devices. I got positive feedback of Tor running on iPod touches and iPad, but it would be nice to have other feedback. I was going to show you how to toggle it, but I had to do that on the DEF CON open network, so I just used this backup movie. Okay. Whoop. Okay. Sorry for the quality. I was recording a VNC connection to my phone. This is the mobile Safari. I just fire it up, go to check.torproject.org, and okay, I'm not using Tor. I'm closing the web browser. I'm opening the settings, the SB settings application. I'm just tapping on the Tor icon. Okay, it's running. Both Tor and Polypo are running. Okay, closing it, opening the settings, the system settings application. You just go to your Wi-Fi. You choose your Wi-Fi network you are currently connected to. You scroll down. Okay. HTTP proxy, manual. Server is localhost. Localhost. TTP. And port, well, it's the default port for... it was the privacy port, but well. Okay. Now, if we go back to mobile Safari and we hit the refresh button, okay, it's the address. Go. The network was low. Congratulations, we are running Tor. Woo! Okay. That's all.